Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and you may have noticed that we are slowly drawing you further into the world of sports in Boston. And right now it is the dawn of not one, but three new possible eras if you're a Boston sports fan. Let us tell you about them. The New England Patriots began a football season yesterday with something that fans haven't seen since 1999. No Tom Brady on the roster. Meanwhile, the Celtics are headed to the Eastern Conference Finals with a solid chance to get back to the NBA Finals for the first time in a decade. And after blacklisting quarterback Colin Kaepernick for taking a knee in 2016, the NFL is groping its way toward some kind of racial reckoning this season. So let's check the score on all of it with Radio Boston's Chris Siderek. Hey there, Chris.
Hey, Tiziana.
So, Chris, I want to talk about the new era of the Celtics team. But first, I just want to talk about Friday night. We invited Radio Boston listeners to stay up with us and watch their big game 7 in round 2 of the NBA playoffs. Late night happy viewers, right?
Oh, absolutely. After we got off, Tiziana, I was checking my clock about every 3 minutes waiting for that 9 o'clock game start. And it ended up even being later. But it was a great game to finish off an incredible series. And I just think the Celtics all said it. They tipped their hats to this Toronto team. They're the defending champions. They lost their best player in the offseason. And the Celtics had the more talented team. But Toronto really made them work for everything in this series. I don't know about you. I was sick to my stomach watching the end of that game. Yeah. Even with the lead, with time ticking down, I really felt like it came down to two key plays, though, that really tell us a lot about the Celtics team. So I want to dive into those a little bit. The first one was Marcus Smart making just an absolutely Marcus Smart kind of play, literally saved the season. Here's what it sounded like.
And it's into the hands of Siakam. Here comes Powell. Powell with Smart defending. Oh, it's blocked by Smart. What a play.
So huge. Celtics were up 2, about a minute left, and Marcus Smart just beelining down the court, all kinds of hustle and toughness to get there and make the block, and that preserved the lead for the Celtics. Man, that was a huge, huge moment in the game.
Yeah, it was, but still a minute left at that point. Everyone's still sick to their stomachs, right?
Oh, me too.
Knuckle biter.
It was not right. Comfortable by any means. Yeah, but that next possession, Kyle Lowry, who was probably not Toronto's most talented player, but definitely the one Celtics and their fans feared the most in this series, he fouls out. He's gone, so that was huge. You've got rookie Grant Williams on the line with a chance to seal the game. He misses 2 free throws. Luckily, Jason Tatum just comes flying in from nowhere, arm outstretched to the heavens, snags the ball, gets fouled on the way down. He hits his 2 free throws, and I got to play Grant Williams being asked about that with reporters after the game.
I don't never remember a time where I missed clutch free throws like that. So definitely was a laughing moment for me when JT got the rebound. I was like, thank you, JT, for saving my career here in Boston. And I'm happy that we ended up pulling it out.
Tiziana, I know you know Boston fans like I do. He's probably right. Like, if they go on to lose that game, he's probably done here. I don't think fans would have any patience for him. But I
was
just
also just thinking, Chris, that it was more fun to listen to you describe that than it was to actually watch it.
A lot of these things are more painful than fun in the actual moment. The fun comes in the celebration. But
that's right.
I mean, this team just has had big minutes from all these young guys, including the rookies. Grant Williams came up with a huge defensive stop right after those free throws down the other end. So I think that's kind of the narrative of this team. The young guys, both the guys who have been in the league for a few years and these rookies, really kind of coming together and taking that step to the next level collectively.
So is that why you think this could be the dawn of a new era for the Celtics? And with that in mind, how do they stack up when they play the Miami Heat now in the Eastern Conference Finals?
I do think you're looking at a young core that hopefully they will keep here in Boston for a while and will be very competitive and title contenders for years to come. And I love this matchup with the Heat. I'm a huge sucker for the sports narrative. I love those real life moments that feel like a sports movie. But the Heat are the team that ended the Big Three era here in Boston in 2012. LeBron and the Heat knocked the Celtics out of the playoffs. And that was the last time that we saw Pierce and Garnett and Ray Allen on the floor together. So it's interesting now that to launch this new era, we could be going through the same franchise. I got to say, though, the Heat are a really good team. They are hitting their stride right now. They just knocked out the Milwaukee Bucks, who were the number one seed and have the best player in the league. So they're going to have to get through Jimmy Butler in the Heat. Jimmy Butler is phenomenal talent. His thing has been, does he care enough? He seems like he cares right now, which is not a great sign, but it's going to be a tough series. I would love to see this team take that next step, get to the finals. They're really going to need Jason Tatum to take it to another level. Kemba Walker was kind of in and out that last series. He's got to be on it pretty much every night. But I just love the toughness of this team and the way they come together, support each other, show up for each other in big moments. That is a winning formula in basketball. It's all about the sum of the whole, not just the parts.
All right. Well, in sports, the clock is always on your mind. And with the clock in mind on the Pats, I don't want to talk about the Tom Brady loss this weekend. Although, you know, I'm one of those people who sort of sour grapes about him leaving. So it wasn't completely disappointing to me to see that. But I do want to talk about this big moment for the New England Patriots, right? First time since 1999 that Tom Brady isn't on the roster. They get the win with a new quarterback, Cam Newton. What'd you think of the new look?
I loved it. I just want to give you a little context. 1999, the number one movie of the box office that year was Phantom Menace. So we are seven subsequent Star Wars movies away from that. That's how long the Tom Brady era lasted, for a little context. We talked about it a year ago, August, that it was possible. It was still weird to see this team take the field and know that Brady is not coming out of the locker room. But if you watch that game, you got to love what you saw from these guys yesterday. Cam Newton is just electric. And we've talked in the past about whether or not there was a competition for who the starting quarterback would be. I think we've put that to bed now because they have clearly designed this offense for Cam Newton and his mobility. We saw this kind of combination of some of the things that Cam Newton was doing in Carolina with some traditional New England Patriots type things. And I think that shows that they really went into this year knowing this is Cam's team and he's going to take us where we're going to go. He had two rushing touchdowns yesterday. I mean, when was the last time Tom Brady had one rushing touchdown? Never mind two, right? Plus, this D looks great. I think this team actually could be really good and surprise some people.
Okay, so we've got this new look for the Pats with Cam Newton with no Tom Brady. Also a new look for the league. There's been anthem controversy ever since Colin Kaepernick in 2016. They tried to ban players from kneeling or remaining in the locker room at one point, the NFL did. Then they pulled back. Last Friday on air, we talked about the Kansas City fans actually booing the Chiefs and the Texans during a moment of unity on the field. How did the league try to handle the questions of racial equity and racial justice this weekend?
Well, the league, for the most part, has left this up to the teams, which meant you got a whole wide range of responses. So you had some teams stay in the locker room. You had some players that knelt. You had some teams that locked arms. And there were some teams where half the team's in the locker room, the other half's on the field. So it really was kind of this hodgepodge of everyone kind of doing what they felt comfortable or what their organization felt comfortable with. The league has taken some steps to try to draw some attention to some of these issues. They've added the song Lift Every Voice and Sing, which is often called the Black National Anthem. They've added that to the pregame routine. They have made sure that it's not back-to-back with the National Anthem, of course, in true NFL style. They're putting it about 20 or 30 minutes apart. And they've also kind of added these little touches. There's phrases or names on the backs of some helmets and on some lines on the end zones. But it's very subtle and much more subtle than, say, the NBA.
Yeah, so right, such a contrast with the NBA, where there are racial justice messages on the jersey of every single player. So how has the NFL's attempts been received these last couple days?
I mean, I think it's still a little too early to tell. You know, Thursday, you mentioned we heard the boos to the moment of unity, which is interesting. I've heard some say that that came out of a keep politics out of sports type of mentality, but we've talked on the show before about how that's never been something that's reality. But you aren't having fans in the stands in the vast majority of these games. So I think we'll basically see how it goes and if it catches any kind of national attention, including the president, who obviously weighed in the past. We'll see as the season goes if there's a strong reaction one way or the other.
So, Chris, it really seems like the NFL is having trouble getting this right. I know you and I will continue to talk about it. And I'm going to say goodbye to you now because I think you have some tape that we can finish this segment on that delves into why they're having trouble.
Yeah, it's always great to talk with you, Tiziana. And I wanted to end with this because I felt like it's a great example of kind of the mindset that players are taking right now. The NFL is taking these steps. They're basically trying to play both sides and please everybody without making any sort of definitive stance. This is a portion of a video put out by the Miami Dolphins explaining why they were going to remain in the locker room before the game on Sunday.
Is it authentic? That's the mystery.
Or is it just another symbolic victory?
Now there's two anthems. Do we kneel? Do we stand?
If we could just right our wrongs, we wouldn't need two songs.
We don't need another publicity parade.
So we'll just stay inside.
Until it's time to play the game.
Whatever happened to the funds that were promised? All of a sudden we got a collapsed pocket?
The bottom line should not be the net profit.
You can't open your heart when it's controlled by your wallet.